This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Jay's going to tell us about a major milk farm, a cattle farm with milking kind of
dairy farm.
You know, dairy farm, thank you. That apparently burned down. We'll talk about that on the way.
Loaded.
Since we're talking about food-related things, the San Francisco Whole Foods closing down. Whole Foods claims it's going to be temporary until they can figure out how to guarantee the safety of their employees.
But that's not going to be temporary.
It doesn't sound like it because, well, it's California, so you can't let your, you know, they're not going to let your employees tote guns because the people of San Francisco, like, even if that were legal, the people of San Francisco don't want to see that, right, because they're a bunch of liberals, and so they certainly would not be okay with Whole Foods having gun-toting employees.
Every time I open carry in Whole Foods in Bedford, New Hampshire,
mm-hmm.
Security follows me around.
Wow.
Every time.
That's crazy.
I'm like, hey, guys, somebody want to push a cart for me? I go in there. I got two kids with me. And I'm like, really? You think I'm a problem?
Wow. So we can continue that discussion. Calls are on the line, though. I do want to say thank you to Robin Mock, who is a Free Talk Live supporter of our AMPS program. Robin is a gold-level supporter, which means she's doing $10 a month to help us advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live. So if you appreciate the work that we do here and you want to help us support the mission of spreading the ideas of peace and liberty and crypto and alternatives to the violent status quo that we have here, then please join Robin over at amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. You can sign up there via our Patreon. There's, you know, debit card, credit card, believe PayPal as well. So choose your option that suits you the best over at amps.freetalklive.com. It's amps.freetalklive.com. By the way, Robin's doing twice what we ask. We only ask for $5 a month, so you can do that.
High five, Robin.
Definitely appreciate it. Let's talk to Major Payne. He's on the line in Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live. Major.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Yeah, I don't remember which one of you that commented on the cities on out west going just totally bat crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, San Francisco and all them. You need to say all the way out west, because this side of the Rockies, sanity still exists. I mean, you got all these George Soros elected district or prosecuting attorneys, and you know, the homeless are not prosecuted for any of their crimes. It's only a short 20 years ago. If you were homeless, and especially living in a northern climate, you'd go throw a brick through somebody's window to get thrown in jail for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
So you got three hots and a cot.
Right. Yeah, well, that's what I was saying about San Francisco. It's obviously not that cold there, but, you know, these homeless people would probably not mind getting caught for stealing from Whole Foods or whatever, because they don't care. They have nothing to live for. But they won't get caught because apparently they're not even prosecuting people who steal less than $900 or something like that.
Well, it's pretty comfortable in San Francisco, isn't it?
Yes, there are a lot of homeless services and such in San Francisco.
Just the weather's really good, though.
Mm-hmm. That, too.
It doesn't really get super cold. It doesn't get super hot,
right,
from what I understand.
Go ahead, Major.
Yeah, well, they're able to go out and thieve with no retribution at all.
Correct.
I mean, you look at poor people in other countries. They're out sorting plastic from tin, from glass, just trying to make $3.50 a day or some damn thing. You know?
Yeah.
It's just totally nuts.
Yeah, it is. Well, you said it was something about the Rockies, but Chicago is also closing down. There's some Walmarts there that are closing as well. So, I mean, there's a lot of big cities all over the United States that have similar issues.
Yeah, big cities are a problem. Big cities are a problem. But I got another one for you.
Hmm.
You know the old saying, go woke, go broke?
Yeah.
You know what Budweiser did? There was this
fella. Go ahead.
Well, I guess it was a girl. Well, he claims to be a girl. And they announced
he's an attention
woman
whore.
Of the year. They yeah. announced this he/she woman of the year, and Budweiser took him on as their spokesperson.
Yes, that's
well,
right.
Well, their stock is plummeting. Evidently, they didn't realize that rednecks drank beer.
Is that true that their stock is plummeting?
Well, yes, I heard it was down 4 or 5%.
I tell you what, if I had money to invest in beer, I would buy Coors. Because that's Colorado Kool-Aid, cowboy water. That. Budweiser, they're pulling it. Bud Light, they're pulling it out of the bar. It's henceforth known as queer beer.
Yeah.
I mean, I doubt Anheuser-Busch is going anywhere.
No.
Well,
yeah.
I tell you what, they ain't done themselves no favor. There's some woman that's about 30-some years old in charge of the advertising department, and her logic behind this was, well, our sales are slipping, so we have to do something.
Well, you're not going to sell Budweiser to the woke crowd. That's not what they drink.
Well, Budweiser, you didn't have to advertise Budweiser, and they realized that 30 years ago. That's why they started pushing this Bud Light. It takes a third of the grain to produce light beer. I've called in and talked to you guys about this before. Light beer came from when the Egyptians had the Hebrews enslaved. And they decided they could make a tolerable brew with a third of the grain, and they'd give it to the Hebrews on the weekends.
They are down in the last 5 days from around $66 per share to about $64.30. I mean, not a huge drop off.
Yeah,
of that,
and
but
that's after the entire year preceding that averaging like 55-ish or something
yeah.
like that.
So it's only down in the last week. It's still up compared to
smoke and mirrors, really, this whole drop. And
well, okay, now look at why it was up. We were in lockdown.
Sure, more people are going to drink. That's true. I agree with you, Major. It seems like a really strange decision for a brand like Budweiser to make, to bring on a tranny to be their brand ambassador or brand representative or whatever. It doesn't make much sense. They certainly don't need to do that to continue being a top-selling product in their category. They're Budweiser. Like you said, they don't even need to advertise.
I want to touch on this woman who was in charge of the advertising department.
Well, before you do that, the person, I believe, is called Dylan Mulvaney, if I recall the name correctly.
That sounds correct.
And the I forget who's I don't know who to give credit to this for pointing this out, but I've seen this pointed out recently on social media. It's like the conservatives are obsessed with this person. Like most of the time, when you see something about Dylan Mulvaney, it's a conservative posting about Dylan Mulvaney. Like if it weren't for the conservatives and all their outrage about this individual, Dylan would have absolute zero, you know, clout.
He's definitely a fine example of you know, the bad press, the bad attention has given this guy, you know, a lot more attention.
Yeah, and apparently this Dylan has been getting a lot of sponsorship. So it hasn't just been Bud Light, but it's been other ones, and I don't have the list in front of me, but other major brands have now taken this this individual on. And it seems as though this person is putting in some effort, so, you know, they might be willing to, I mean, I might be willing to call that person a she, but then at the same time, when you actually listen to what Dylan says, it almost seems like satire. Like the level of the performance that this person is putting in almost seems like they're making fun of maybe just women in general. And it's very strange. I can't make heads or tails of whether or not this person's like legit or they're just trying to undermine something.
I think Dylan Mulvaney's just looking for the attention, just mm-hmm. looking for the clicks, and he's just found what gets attention and gets him, you know, clicks.
Got some money in this
yeah.
case. More than just clicks. He's
making
got sponsorships.
Good money.
Yeah, yep. Big time. All right, Major, your point about the person at Bud Light or Budweiser who's made this
decision. On what you guys were speaking out here a second ago, America is finally getting awakened rather than woke. And there is no reason on God's green earth that 2-5% of the population should be telling the rest of us how we're supposed to act.
Absolutely.
This is just insanity. It's absurd to the point of being just I can't even think of the 75-cent word I want right now.
I mean, it's okay. It's fine if they want to tell everybody how to act, but it's stupidity if everybody actually acts on their advice or order.
Well, when the whole damn media is bombarding you with this stuff 24/7, mm-hmm. and especially with the children, look what they're doing to them in the public school system. All right, so right before you guys dump me, this woman that was in charge of the advertising department,
she
decides the market share is dropping, so we need to do something drastic. So this is what she does. Well, this is the same logic that, okay, we're in a boat. And it's leaking. Well, let's drill another hole.
Yeah, and apparently she's like a super woke.
Character that saws off the branch he's standing on. Come on, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've never had a light beer in my entire life, and I have no real interest in. I don't drink anymore now, but it's never been really been much of an attraction to me. So I don't know. Maybe some of these Bud Light drinkers will go and try better beer now. So.
Well. And
could be a good thing.
I have a couple of friends, actually three friends I could think of. They all gave me the same reason why they drink Bud Light. They're like, oh, look, it's got a higher alcohol content, and it's cheap.
Does it really?
Yeah, it's got a higher alcohol content than most,
what? Other
than like regular
beers?
Budweiser.
Really?
And it's cheap. It's like, I don't know. I can remember the one girl I knew a few years ago. It was like, you know, $11.49 for like a 30-pack or something. Very mm-hmm. inexpensive beer. I mean, you almost can't buy water as cheap as you can buy somebody's cheap beers.
Wow. I'm shocked that there's actually more. You're saying there's more alcohol in Bud Light than normal Budweiser?
Really? Yep.
That's what they...
I think you guys better check the label on that.
I don't believe it.
Like okay.
It takes more grain to make real beer.
Yeah, I can't believe that. That doesn't make sense to me. Like, what's the light part about it if it's not lighter on the alcohol?
Yeah, check it. I'm not into alcohol at all, but that's what one of my friends told me. I could be wrong. I don't know.
Okay.
Right. I mean, you know,
well, we'll check it.
This girl's been a career drunk, so drinking Budweiser
she would know,
her whole
right?
life, you know. So Bud Light, anyways.
Yeah, Budweiser according to
Ace, beer goggles will make you misread a label.
According to ACDC Beverage, ACDC-beverage.com, Budweiser is 5.0 ABV, that's alcohol by volume, and Bud Light is 4.2.
Oh, okay.
So, no, it is not higher alcohol. Thank you, Major, for the call tonight. I appreciate it. Let's continue with Rob in Vermont. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, am I here?
You're here.
All right. Did you guys hear about this? There was a murder over in Brattleboro there last week where this social worker was viciously butchered by an axe-wielding homeless woman in a shelter.
Oh, man.
Man, and I don't know, Ian, I cannot for the life of me pronounce this woman's name. It's like about 25 or 30 letters long. This woman's name.
Yeah, I have the story here. That since you mentioned to me there was a murder in Brattleboro, I went and I looked it up. I mean, this is a small town. It's population like 12 or 13,000 over there. And so I imagine they don't see murders very often. But the woman's name is Zaina Mavishjama, age 38. And they say that she attacked this woman with a hatchet. Shelter coordinator Leah Rossin Pritchard, age 36, suffered injuries to her face, neck, and torso and was pronounced dead at the scene.
Wow.
The woman had been living at the house for months. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, it kind of hits home for me because we had a shelter here in the town of where I lived at, or where I live at, and, you know, I didn't even make it through, you know, my first, because of the pandemic, my job ended quickly. But, yeah, I mean, that same thing could have happened to me, you know, working third shift and you know, somebody, you know, go off or whatever.
Right, yeah, I've known people who've worked, Dale, who used to be one of our co-hosts years ago on Free Talk Live, he used to volunteer at the local private homeless shelter here in town. And it always just seemed like a, you know, a nice thing to do, right? Like you're working the overnight shift, you're helping people get checked in or whatever. For listeners that don't know, there's a private shelter here in Keene that's called 100 Nights Homeless Shelter. And he would stay there for, you know, an 8-hour overnight shift. And And it was relatively uneventful. Like, normally he'd sit back and you could read a book or whatever, and, you know, no real issues would come up. I mean, there's a small chance somebody's going to be overdosing when they check in or something like that, in which case you might have to call, you know, the ambulance or whoever it is you have to call in those circumstances. But, you know, it seems like a nice thing you can do for the community, and I don't think many people consider you could get hatchet murdered while you're at one of these volunteer opportunities.
Yeah, it's really kind of scary. It really is. And, you know, like I said, it just kind of hits home for me. And,
yeah.
And I mean, you're working at a shelter or working at a soup kitchen. It's a wonderful way to give back to the community. But, you know, some of these people that come to these places, you know, like, they have a lot of emotional issues. You know, they're, you know, for some unknown reason, they may be off their medication, and it's like, and you may not even know it.
There's a lot of broken people out there.
Yeah.
I believe we're going to see more and more broken people coming along. And my belief is the access to high-speed internet that children, while their brains are developing, their brains are getting rewired by the internet devices. There's
this person's 38 years old.
Sure, I understand that. But there's just a lot of broken people in general. I mean, there's a lot of people, especially with the economy going the way it is.
This is likely a drug-addled individual who may have some, you know, psychosis and or serious mental
schizophrenic.
Schizo, that's the word I was looking for. Yeah.
If I had, I'd be schizophrenic too if I had a name this long. Zaina Azra Zakira Mavish Jama.
Yeah, I mean, I suspect things would have probably gone differently if Ms. Pritchard were armed at the time of the attack. I'm just going to presume she wasn't, unless she was, you know, caught off guard or something like that. But that may be, you know, what has to happen here is these volunteers need to, you know, be strapped while they're in these positions.
The other sad thing about this case is that, you know, they knew about this woman, you know, with her issues and stuff like that. And it's like nothing happened. Nothing, you know, it's not like they didn't know.
Well, clearly we need hatchet restrictions. We need to have licenses, background checks. Hey, thank you, Rob, for the call.
Can you believe
tonight?
Just anybody can walk into Harbor Freight and buy a hatchet for $8.99?
Or a 3-pound sledgehammer?
They're not even locked up. I mean, you don't need a background check.
They probably are in San Francisco, though. Let's go to Ricky. He's in Pennsylvania. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Ricky.
Thank you there, Brother Ian, Brother Jay, and who else would be there?
We got Matt. What's on your mind tonight?
Brother Matt, good evening. Well, I got something. But I did want to comment quickly on this whole Budweiser thing.
Okay.
Now, I drank my first sip of beer at 6 years old, and I've been drinking beer throughout my whole life as a social drinker, you know? And I'll tell you right now, light beer sucks in general, but I only had Bud Light once, and it really sucks.
Mm.
And Budweiser's nothing happened either. Personally, I drink Rolling Rock.
Okay.
High five.
Okay, that's the end of that.
Mysterious 33.
I mean, it's just fluoridated water anyways, all these commercial beers. They're all bottled in big cities on municipal water supply that's got fluoride, chlorine, comes from an open reservoir most likely.
I know Rolling Rock is fresh and crisp and refreshing and dry.
It really is a good beer.
No doubt.
Were you calling about something else?
Yeah, I was actually.
Okay.
Well, I had heard around that there has been a scam going around where people have been using government phone numbers that are known government phone numbers of different agencies. Mm-hmm. But they're actually scam artists, and they'll be from this agency to that agency.
Yep.
And they'll say you owe them money, and, like, they want payment and stuff.
Yeah,
try to get
right.
money out of you. Right. Well, here's something interesting happened to me the other day. Now, it's not like I make a call to them very much, but I called Medicare. Now, their number is 800-MEDICARE, right? Mm-hmm. Pretty simple. Well, I call it up and get this one. I call it up, dial a number, and it says, welcome to Medicare. A little few seconds is a normal message to start. And then I hear this. Hi, I'm Jessica from MedAlert. I said, oh, my God. So I immediately start talking and I screw her up. Then I get this one. I hear another couple more seconds, maybe 10 seconds or whatever, of another Medicare you know, stuff off their line that's familiar. Then I hear, hi, I'm Jessica. I hang up from MetAlert. Now, I don't even know if MetAlert exists. I heard a Life Alert. I fall and I can't get up, you know?
Okay.
But I've heard this before. So here's what I did. How did I actually get Medicare now? What I did is I called another phone number, you know, of another agency that has a link to them. You push an option,
mm-hmm.
and I did. And actually, I got them, and I got this guy, Denzel. I was calling about something else, which I ended up going into. But I told him what had happened. He said, oh, my God. He said, well, you know what? What happened exactly again? I told him the exact thing that happened. Hold on. And he put me on hold, and he immediately went to go talk to people. And then he came back. And he said, you know, thanks for, we appreciate this. You know, we want to nip it in the bud. They obviously didn't even know, you know. And I asked the guy, I said, what's going to happen to 800 Medicare? Is it going to be screwed now? Like it's going to be gone, you know? He said, nah, probably not. We'll be able to use it. I don't know about that.
So let me see if I'm following what you're saying. You're saying that you called what you believed was the official Medicare phone number. And
which it was, 800 Medicare.
And at some point, some other operator broke into the line from another.
It was a machine. You know, that's what this Jessica is. It's a machine, and then you say stuff to it, and he interprets and talks back.
Okay. So is this Jessica from some other company called MetAlert, or is that just like...
I question if they exist, because I've heard that before.
Or is it possible that this was just...
my number.
Or is it possible that this was just the automated system behind the Medicare phone
lines?
Oh,
no, absolutely not. No, I've heard these MetAlert people, okay. you know, before. I think it's a total scam because Life Alert really exists. Remember the iPhone and I can't
get up? Who doesn't remember that ad?
Right, but these people, I think, are bogus because it uses a machine, like I said. Okay. And you talk to it and it interprets it and responds back. But you can fry its brains real easy. That's what I did. And then when I did it...
Well, it sounds like you handled the situation, Ricky. What's the takeaway from this? I mean, is there something that you think other people should care about?
I mean, what's really bad is somehow they're doing this. This isn't spoofing, though. They're actually... This person actually took over the damn number somehow. Now, obviously, Medicare is still there because I was to get them through another agency, through a transfer. You push the options. You know, so they're going to nip it in the butt.
All right, Ricky. Well, thank you for the call tonight. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. I don't know what else to say to that. Yeah.
I mean, taking over a government phone number would be pretty brave.
Yeah, you would think so. There's probably something going on he just doesn't understand, but who cares? The number is 603-283-6160. You enjoy your welfare. And you can bring up whatever you want here on Free Talk Live.
You
can
enjoy your welcome.
Coming up here, Walmart closing down multiple locations in Chicago because they're just not making money. It's Free Talk Live.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
USA News Update. Former President Trump is spending the day in Manhattan in connection with a civil lawsuit against him and the Trump Organization. He was questioned under oath in the civil fraud case brought by New York's Attorney General involving Trump's company. Fort Lauderdale Airport will remain closed until Friday morning after a flash flood emergency. Broward County Mayor Lamar Fisher.
The FAA is coming to do their assessment as well. They should be here today. We are not going to open this airport until it's completely safe.
San Francisco Police Chief Bill Bill Scott says the suspect in the murder of Cash App founder Bob Lee has been arrested and booked into the county jail.
Identified the suspect as 38-year-old Nima Momeni.
San Francisco District Attorney Brooke Jenkins says Nima Momeni is set to be arraigned tomorrow.
The specific charges that we are filing today include murder.
Dave Collins, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
That's 603-283-6160. I want to say thanks to Porcupine Real Estate, longtime sponsor here on Free Talk Live. Maybe you've been considering a move to New Hampshire. Maybe you've been listening carefully over the years here on Free Talk Live, and you're pretty interested in finding out about the scene here in New Hampshire. You haven't had a chance to come up to the Porcupine Freedom Festival or Liberty Forum, and you're out there wondering, is this for real? Is it really the real deal that there are actual liberty-minded people migrating to the same geographic area, which is, of course, the concept of the Free State Project? And our friends over at Porcupine Real Estate are going to try to prove it to you by hosting a series of webinars. And they've actually done some already, but they got more coming up to educate people like you on the expanded freedoms enjoyed by those of us here in New Hampshire. They're going to be focusing on different topics. So each webinar will focus on, one will be on gun freedom, another on medical freedom, the various different political victories that we've been having up here. They'll even be focusing, of course, on moving to the Free State, like tips, you know, for making the move and also for finding housing, which, of course, is their profession at Porcupine Real Estate. These guys are the experts. Mark Warden and his crew have been at this for a very, very long time here, and there's no better group to go with if you're interested in learning more about a potential move here to New Hampshire.
And I've got the jingle stuck in my head.
Porcupine Real Estate jingle.
It's like tattooed on my brain. PorcupineRealEstate.com.
It's a good one. You can go to move.freetalklive.com. We made a little URL to get you right to the right page where you can sign up for the upcoming webinars. So you can choose whichever one you want to attend. It's free to attend. They just need to know who you are so they can reach out to you with any updates or whatever. So go to move.freetalklive.com and get signed up for the upcoming webinars. You can also link over to their YouTube channel, which is called Porcupine Real Estate, and you'll find some of the past webinars. If you want to get a taste of what the other ones have been like, see what the other topics have been that they've been covering, check out Porcupine Real Estate on YouTube. Again, it's move.freetalklive.com if you want to sign up for the upcoming seminars from Porcupine Real Estate.
Mark Warden's just such an awesome dude.
He is.
Yep. Just they love they do guy. Great work, and they're just basically their job is exclusively helping liberty-minded movers get into housing here in New Hampshire.
I mean, they've built a great business out of it. I mean, that shows you how many people are actually moving to New Hampshire.
That you could make a business out
just
of
just making
it.
A business out of it.
Yeah, so kudos to them. All right, so we're talking about a place where people are leaving, which is San Francisco, where the Whole Foods has closed down their flagship location because they say they can't keep their employees safe. Whether they reopen or not remains to be seen. But I was just looking at the comments on the story here from sfstandard.com, and Dan writes saying, "Let me get this straight. People were shooting up in public bathrooms nearby, so some folks put together a safe injection location. Then they closed the safe injection location because some people in the city found it yucky. Then people went back to the public bathrooms, so they closed them too. So, therefore, the closest bathroom for several blocks was Whole Foods. And surprise, surprise, the junkies ended up using that one. And, indeed, the Whole Foods cited needles and, you know, other dangerous situations being generated in their bathrooms as one reason why they were closing the locations. So, again, it's an injection room isn't going to solve your problem, but it can maybe do a little bit of harm reduction where you're less likely to have needles out in the streets where kids can pick them up and jab themselves and get hepatitis or whatever else, you know, whatever other kind of bloodborne diseases might be associated with dirty needles, you know, have them in an actual location that's staffed and, you know, safely disposing of those needles. It's a way to try to deal with the problem, but you're not going to solve the problem until you solve the problem of why people are abusing drugs in the first place, which usually has to do with them feeling like there's nothing worth living for.
And the government could stop incentivizing this poor behavior, just giving anybody willy-nilly a paycheck. There was a video I did watch a while ago, and it was basically this guy in California. I believe he was at Venice Beach. He was all tattooed up. You know, his whole face is all tattooed, and he's like, "I love California. I get a X amount of $600-something, you know, check every month, and I can just get high." Mm. The food truck shows up here 3 times a day, and they feed us. And, you know, he's just like, "This is a great place. The weather's beautiful." And, you know, it was some kind of, like, Vice-type, like, you know, thing, the little expose. I don't know who did it, but the only reason I watch is a good friend of mine. He's like, "Oh, I got to watch this. Check, this is why California's having a problem." I'm like, "Yep. Subsidizing poor
people.
They're
incentivizing it.
You're going to create a whole bunch more poor people if you subsidize them."
Yep. Yeah, you know, people respond to incentives.
Well, they respond to incentives, and they also respond to, "Oh, I might die if I don't get up off my butt and go do something."
Mm-hmm.
Like, "I'm starving to death. Maybe I'll go do something." But and as we know, the drug cartels are working extremely closely with all the governments to move the drugs. I mean, Ernie Hancock and Bob did this excellent show about a month ago on how somebody in Arizona, an insurance, some woman who's like very big in insurance, and she does like a lot of insurance type, like actuaries, and I don't really understand how insurance works, but at her level, but she's like a number cruncher, and then she found that the Mexican drug cartels were laundering their money through the Secretary of State's office by buying a whole bunch of single-family homes with all kinds of money that they had to do something with on the American side of the border. You know, so all these investors are buying all these homes, but it's through the Arizona Secretary of State's office. It's totally co-opted. You know, this woman testified before the Arizona legislature. And then as Joe and I talked about a week ago, several weeks ago, there's this guy, Mike Gill, who's always talking about the state of corruption in New Hampshire, and he basically said the same exact thing, that New Hampshire has a drug cartel that is basically laundering money through the Secretary of State's office, through these New Hampshire whatever trust corporations, and And the guy gets into all how, like, all the governors involved and, you know, the state police and everybody, you know, Mike Gill, anybody can go look him up.
That guy has a giant mouth, and it's been going for years.
Yep.
And you got to take your hat off to him just because he's relentless.
Yep. And you know, he was like a mortgage broker or something, or that's what he did. Anyways, he was actually offered a settlement from the state over his basically exposing the corruption for like $50 million. And he's like, no, we're gonna prove this. We're going to take it to court. And of course, you know, all the courts are just totally corrupt.
Right.
So it didn't really
get
anywhere.
Justice through their system.
Yeah. Yeah, there's essentially really no justice, especially if you got, you know, your woke DAs and stuff, you know, have infected the system. And, you know, the Bar Association, as far as I'm concerned, is 100% corrupt and all those guys are co-opted.
Well, I mean, it's not just a problem with woke DAs. You can put a right winger in there and they're going to still prosecute the war on drugs, too.
Sure,
they're
absolutely.
Still working for the state.
Yeah,
so
all the states, these people
are going to make things better.
Yeah, yeah. All the statists are bad, whether they're on the ring, on the left or the right. Yes.
Yeah. The position of DA, district attorney, attracts psychopaths.
Yep.
It attracts people from the left and the right who want to just punish people. You know, use a punitive system, which of course we've seen doesn't actually really help people. Putting somebody who has a problem in with a bunch of other criminals into gladiator school, as they call it, isn't going to result in people being good. After they get out, in a lot of cases.
One of the things I fear that's going to happen, you know, here in America at some point is, you know, the average people are going to get really, really sick of all this essentially wokeism, and a lot of them are, and they're going to vote hardcore, probably Republican, and then we're going to see a pendulum swing to an extreme rightist, where we're going to have a bunch of right-wing authoritarians and sociopaths getting in there.
Sure. And, I mean, here's two headlines for you right now. DeSantis pushing the toughest immigration crackdown in the nation in Florida. And a lot of people who are in the liberty movement have been flummoxed, or they've been fooled by this guy because he talked a good game at some point about COVID after locking people down and cracking down and locking down the beaches and arresting people for going to the beach. He changed his tune. Well, this guy's an authoritarian who loves the police state, and that's just, you know, there's your latest headline proving it. We can dig into it deeper if you want, but also the scariest story is the national one that the GOP is now embracing the new foreign policy of bombing Mexican cartels.
Oh, I'd love to comment on that.
In their latest war on drugs insanity. I mean, this is the most, feel free to comment, because it's the most insane war on drugs proposal that I've heard in my lifetime.
So, I don't...
And that's saying something.
So I listen to Jeff Berwick's show, he does a walk
in Mexico.
He's in Mexico, and I actually stopped what I was doing when I was listening to him talk on the show, because I'm like, you know, just doing something, and I got to go back and rewind the video a little bit, but, you know, Jeff does these Jeff and Lucy walk in talks, and he just basically talks a whole bunch of S about a bunch of stuff and a lot of truth, so he goes, check these guys out. Do these look like they're tourists? Coming down to whatever border town in Mexico where the cartel, like, you know, took these guys and shot them or whatever. And they were like gangbanging homies from that were like, they were there to buy cocaine. They were cocaine dealers. And so that's always the thing. Like,
you're talking about the four people that got abducted recently? In the news?
I'm pretty sure that's the,
yeah, it came out later that they were involved in the drug trade.
Right. Mm-hmm. So when you look at them, the videos, they look like, you know, they walked off the set of like a 50 Cent, you know, rap video.
Okay.
That's the kind of guy they were. You know, inner city, you know, homie gangbanger types.
Sure.
And
they got out of their element and they got abducted.
Well, they were going to buy drugs, and Jeff Berwick's constantly talking about how safe Mexico is, and the only time that you have a problem is if you're going to be dealing drugs and your competition to the cartel is going to wipe you out. And that's basically what happens in Mexico. Jeff, he went on a major rager. He's like, go ahead, United States military, come and try to take it. I will put all my energy and effort into fighting you, into going back against you, and I will fight beside the cartel against the United States government. No problem.
We'll see about that.
And
I don't know if I buy that one.
I don't know if he's actually going to fight against it, but I can see him just flying to some other place, you know, when Mexico starts getting, you know, bombed by the Americans.
He's out of there. he's 100% out of there.
Sure, I would believe so.
But remember a few months ago, there was the El Chapo's son. This big drug dealer, the son of this big drug dealer. El Chapo was arrested a few years back, and he's in a U.S. prison or whatever. But the Mexican government, I don't know if the U.S. was involved. I don't remember all the details. But his son had been picked up, and then it sparked like an actual hot conflict between the drug cartel that his son was involved in and the Mexican military at the time. And there was literally like helicopters that were being shot at and shooting back, like an actual drug war erupted over the abduction of this El Chapo's son. So it did happen, and it showed that the drug cartels, they are very well equipped. They were able to hold their own against the military in this particular case, and there's some pretty wild footage out there of what was going on down there. So if the U.S. government thinks they're just going to be able to bomb their way out of the so-called fentanyl problem by bombing cartels down there, and if they don't think the cartels are going to shoot back, they're in for a surprise.
If the U.S. government wanted to use bombs to end the drug war, they'd have to bomb FBI headquarters and CIA headquarters.
Yeah,
yeah. And the thing is this has been known about for a very long time. There's all kinds of declassified stuff come out. The CIA, because they don't have to show where they're getting their money from, they're like, oh, Congress, we're not going to fund you, but the CIA can just fund itself. So they fund itself through drug war, and this has been a very well known about thing, or through drug trafficking. And what makes the drugs valuable is the fact that they're prohibited. So like I've said for years now, you want to clean up the border. Stop giving welfare and remove the prohibition on all drugs, and we wouldn't have a border problem.
Yep.
And the thing is, drugs are valuable because they're illegal, and the wrong kind of people are coming here for two reasons, to either sell drugs or to live off the welfare system. And there's a whole bunch of people come through that border that I worked with, mm-hmm. like, these so-called illegal aliens or what do they call them, illegal citizens or something, which I don't, like that term for them. I like undocumented. That's cool. But those were some of the best people I ever worked with.
Me
like
too.
These guys that came from Mexico, they're sending money back home, taking care of their family.
Yeah. Guatemalans were absolute beasts in the workplace.
Guatemalans, Brazilians, Mexicans.
You couldn't keep up with them.
Portuguese guys, all the guys that were here like under the radar. Those guys were like, they were good. You could like leave your kids with them and your kids would be well fed and taken care of.
Super friendly.
Yep.
Really, really good people, hardworking.
And like I say, when I worked on this, out on this big farm out in Colorado, I worked with a whole bunch of harvest crew. The Mexican guys were really like the best, like family men. Like if I had to choose like, a husband for my daughter out of that crew, it wouldn't have been any of the white guys. It would
right.
have been some Mexican guy because they were just like,
they're very religious in a lot of cases.
Well, they just cared about their family and like they would like one guy, Julio, became very good friends with him. He's like, hey, Jay, look at this picture my daughter, drew for me. And, and then like the other guy, Tom, who's like 28 years old, he's like, dude, check out the rims we just got from my truck. And he's like, the cultures
different
are
priorities.
Totally, Julio didn't care about, what is, his car or his truck. He cared about
his
investment
back, right?
was his family. Well, yeah. He had like four or five kids, they're living there with him. And,
oh, okay.
And all of his kids were like super able. Like, I can remember his 7-year-old like operating the skid steer like a pro, cleaning out a whole cow pen of manure. Hmm. He's 7. And he's, wow. and he's in the Bobcat doing the work. And like, the average, college, white college guy or girl wouldn't even think about doing a job. Like, no. They wouldn't even care.
They don't even want to work.
Yeah. They don't even want to work.
So that's why what this story is really, this is really scary stuff. I had started to hear about it a few months ago, as the presidential campaign starting to, heat up. We're starting to hear about who's running for these things. And there was this character named Vivek Ramaswamy.
Oh, he's in Henniker today.
Look out.
I saw his bus driving here. He's right at New England College.
He's making
Vivek.
A big tour. Like,
why do I know that name, Vivek?
Apparently, he's like some sort of a vaccine pimp at one point. He was working for some kind of pharmaceutical corporation. It's like a CEO. I don't know if that's where you picked up on him. I'd never heard of him before, just the last couple months. But
he's been getting some play in libertarian circles because he's anti-ESG, he's anti-wokeism, but he's also in favor of bombing people in Mexico. I mean, the dude is an actual psychopath who wants to lead an actual hot war into Mexico. And that's one of his main issues. He says he's got two main foreign policy things. One is to stop trading with China, which is insane. And the other one is also insane, which is to start bombing the people of Mexico.
You know, I remember a long time ago, like more than 10 years ago, someone named Vivek in the libertarian movement, who I thought was kind of
libertarian,
an oddball, and it was weird. Do you know what a LaRouche is? You know, remember Lyndon LaRouche?
Yeah, I don't know a lot about him, but
he'll say anything to gather support. And his supporters always throw themselves right behind him. It's more like he's a very cult leader. Like, he'll start up a new cult like every 4 years. And that's kind of the way I felt about that Vivek person. How many people could there possibly be named Vivek?
I mean, in the United States, not many, but probably in India or wherever he comes from or wherever his family's from. Probably a lot. So that's where I first came across it. And then I found out, and I think they mention it in this story. Yeah, here it is. So Crenshaw, do you know who this guy is? Representative,
the guy with the eye patch.
Yeah. He's been called Eye Patch McCain because he's much of a war hawk as John McCain.
That's such a good nickname.
He's just the younger version of him. Apparently, this guy and another guy, Mike Waltz, out of Florida, have introduced a bill seeking authorization for the use of military force to, quote, put us at war with the cartels, unquote. So there's an actual bill. This isn't just some presidential candidate talking point.
Yeah, they don't want to stop the drugs. They just want to spend a whole bunch of expensive munitions. And a lot of what I think the intention of a war with Mexican cartels would be is because there's definitely some, I'd have to, like, to be saying this accurately, look into it a little bit more, but there's definitely some chatter I've been hearing about, like, Mexico's wanting to, like, possibly join up with the BRICS nations in a de-dollarization
thing. That's what they're talking about, yeah.
And then there's also been something about Mexico being crypto-friendly. Of course, this might be something I heard from Jeff Berwick, which, of course, he's, you know, a little bit prejudiced in the crypto world. It sounds like Mexico's been, like, buying a lot of gold and not exporting any gold is another one of the things I have heard. And
well, I know that, like, China has good military ties with Mexico, so it may be militarily advantageous to start a not war with Mexico under the flag of fighting cartels.
War on drugs.
And there needs to be a brand new, like, because, like, my entire life, the United States has been at war with somebody. Just there's been some conflict happening.
Yep.
And, like, I say it to people my age who are like, oh, that isn't true. I'm like, dude, we were, like, in, what, second or third grade, and there was the Desert Storm thing. You know, there was Iraqi whatever freedom. There was, you know, and then there's, you know, Afghanistan, and then there's, you know, and there's just been constant conflict after conflict. And, in fact, there's been pretty much chronic conflict ever since the U.S. went off the dollar standard, I mean the gold standard in 1971.
Well, sure. That's how they can fund it.
Right. And
print as much as they want.
Yeah, they have to use the military to enforce the value of the dollar. So they need a someone closer to home as an enemy, as a bad guy, to get the American people riled up, because right now, like, my generation is sort of numb to all this war because we've been hearing about it our entire lives.
I think most people are, because it's not just your life. That's been the way since, like, the Spanish-American War.
But if it happens with Mexico, that's like a much more intense thing. It's, you know, right on an American border. And you know, Mexico's doing some things that the Federal Reserve don't like talking about, you know, joining the BRICS and trading.
So this would be a way
trading
to punish
yuan. And that's what I always look at as the dollars, because everybody who, this Somalian, is it the Somalian president was saying, telling people not to get out of dollars, and Somalia just did a deal directly with either Iran or Russia
or something like that.
Kenya, that's correct. It was Kenya. And I'm like just thinking to myself, well, that guy's going to get off pretty soon. Mm. You know, just like Gaddafi. Gaddafi was working on a gold-backed African currency. And he all of a sudden became, an evil bad guy.
Yeah, so we'll see. In recent weeks, according to Politico.com, Donald Trump has discussed sending special forces using cyber warfare to target cartel leaders if he's reelected president. And per Rolling Stone, asked for battle plans to strike Mexico. Senator Tom Cotton, a Republican from Arkansas, said he's open to sending U.S. troops into Mexico and target drug lords even without Mexico's government's permission. And lawmakers in both chambers have filed legislation to label some cartels as foreign terrorist organizations, a move supported by GOP presidential aspirants. So basically what you have here is the Republicans trying to one-up themselves on tough talk towards the cartels in Mexico. Now, whether any of this actually ends up panning out, still remains to be seen. But they are floating these ideas out there. They want to see what kind of response they get. So even though the drug war has been an abject failure for decades of our lives, that there have been trillions of dollars, taxpayer dollars, that have been poured into this over the 50 years that this has been going on. And, of course, drugs are winning. Drugs are doing just fine. There's been millions of people that have been put in prison cells over this over the years. But the drugs are going out there. They're getting sold. The idea that bombing people is now the way to solve this problem is just absolutely ridiculous. But that's what they're literally proposing.
Well, that's the only thing these guys know how to do. It's like when you have the hammer is the only tool in your toolbox, everything becomes
like
a nail.
Waltz, who is one of them, this is Mike Waltz from Florida, the Republican, says, we need to start thinking about these groups more like ISIS than we do the Mafia, he said in an interview. Of course, not all Republicans are behind this. Thankfully, again, maybe this won't end up going somewhere, but it just goes to show that these Republicans don't know diddly about the failure of the war on drugs. These supposed quote-unquote free market Republicans don't understand free markets. They don't support free markets because free markets would include the right to be able to grow and manufacture any kind of product that you want to and sell it to any willing, voluntary people who want to buy it.
And I'm sure all these guys calling for war are very much funded by the military-industrial complex.
Oh, certainly. Believe it. Well, right, they're against war in Ukraine, right? Like, it's cool right now to be an anti-war Republican, and then all of a sudden now they're pro-war in Mexico. So they don't go longer than 5 minutes being anti-war before they find something else,
right,
somebody else that they want to bomb. So there's more coming up here. Hour number three is on the way. You mentioned BRICS. That's worth a mention as well. Come up.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there's some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327. Or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS-certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA, insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.